This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
President's message today, hire American and buy American. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. First, buy American. President Trump today is set to instruct executive agencies to enforce already existing laws that are supposed to make sure American companies get priority in federal purchasing. For more on the other part of this, the hire American part, I'm joined by Marketplace's Kimberly Adams. Kimberly, it's about the guest worker program, H-1B visas.
David, there's been a lot of controversy about this particular program. Briefly, it's a lottery of about 85,000 visas that go to foreign nationals in specialty fields, and they tend to be focused in the tech field. These can be pretty highly paid jobs, and there have been lots of stories of American workers getting laid off to train their H-1B visa replacements, and those anecdotes really upset people. But sectors of the economy that rely on these visas say we need more workers like this, engineers and programmers, not fewer. The Trump administration says this program has been abused and that the lottery method is inefficient.
Inefficient. Now, how could the administration change the approach to these visas?
So according to a background briefing yesterday with some Trump administration officials, this executive order is probably going to be pretty broad in just calling for agencies to propose changes to make the program better. Some ideas the administration is floating include shifting from more of a lottery to a skills-based assignment of these visas, maybe increasing the scrutiny of the companies that use them, possibly boosting the fees for these visas. But on this topic, as well as the Hire American theme, there's a limit to what the administration can do without Congress. And so far, the president has had a tough time moving his agenda on Capitol Hill.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Thank you. In early trading, the key stock indicators on Wall Street were down in the 0.2% range generally. With the big negotiation over Britain's exit from the EU on the way, the British Prime Minister today moved to shore up her authority by calling a sudden general election. The British pound was up 1.4% this morning. A higher pound can hurt profits in British companies and the FTSE index in London. The stock index was down more than 2%. Members of the Union for Hollywood Writers will start voting today on whether or not to strike. The Guild's contract with studios that produce TV and movies expires the 1st of May. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
Emilia Serrano has written for shows like Jane the Virgin and The Finder. She wants to write TV shows, but she's had to take other gigs to survive.
It's starting to feel like I have to do more ad work than I had to when I first started writing 8 years ago.
That's because studios are ordering shorter, more bingeable seasons. There are a lot more series out there, but the total number of episodes has stayed pretty flat. Writers get hired on a show, then paid per episode, and some shows require that they keep their schedules free for rewrites. Jonathan Handel teaches entertainment law at USC. He says the union has worked to release writers from exclusivity agreements, but only if they make less than $210,000 a year.
The irony here is that the Writers Guild's struggling TV writers are upper income, not middle class.
He says the union is working to free up better paid writers too, along with more contributions from studios for health and pension plans. As for Serrano, she says she'll vote to strike if a deal isn't reached. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Diabetes is expensive. Just one reason policymakers are doing to sugary drinks what was done to cigarettes, applying a tax to tamp down consumption. The soft drink industry says this is causing layoffs, with soda pop sales down. A legal challenge is pending against the tax in Philadelphia, which runs 1.5 cents per ounce, 30 cents on a 20-ounce bottle. Bobby Allen of Station WHYY in Philadelphia has more.
Michelle Murray's browsing the soda aisle of her neighborhood corner store in North Philly. Thoughts on that? My goodness. Oh, that's ridiculous.
The tax can add up to 18 cents to a can of soda.
$1.80 for a 16-ounce Pepsi. That's just too much money for me.
Murray opted for tea instead. Like her, other consumers are increasingly going for unsweetened drinks, according to Philadelphia retailers. Some report a 50% drop in soda sales.
People are angry and furious.
Fraby Peralta runs a small family-owned bodega.
There's a lot of kids that come here with 75 cents and can't even barely buy a chip, you know. And, you know, soda they used to buy back then or juice.
Pepsi recently announced 100 layoffs at distribution plants in the area and blames that on the tax. The soda giant says it was forced to pull 2 liters and 12 packs from the shelves. In a statement, Philadelphia city officials say the soda industry is using the tax as an excuse for things that were going to happen anyway. Analyst Jack Russo studies consumer patterns at Edward Jones.
We're seeing declines in carbonated soft drink consumption, and not only regular sodas, but also diet, and we've seen those trends for a long period of time.
But Russo also says the Philadelphia tax is likely accelerating that trend. The city passed the tax in part to pay for more free pre-kindergarten programs. The tax is expected to bring in $91 million over the next year. That's been a boon to people like Damaris Alvarado Rodriguez. She operates 2 pre-K centers.
When they're upset and they say, well, you know, we're going to lose our job, I'm like, well, I'm hiring.
Her free preschool has added 30 kids since the tax started in January. She's planning for an additional 80 seats.
I really feel bad for the merchants and, you know, the small business owners, but I also look at the effects, the positive effects that we're doing for these children.
But her expansion hinges on one unpredictable factor, the outcome of a lawsuit filed by the beverage industry that challenges the legality of the tax. In Philadelphia, I'm Bobby Allen for Marketplace.
And the British love their Weetabix for breakfast. Post of St. Louis is buying it for $1.75 billion. If you haven't tried Weetabix, it is austere, almost as fun as eating matzah. The plan is to ask people in China to eat it. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.